Good afternoon. It's Tuesday. It's 5 p.m. in the UK. It's 6 p.m. in Poland. And my guest today, his first name, I'm going to look to pronounce it correctly, is Przemek. Hey, I got two thumbs up for the podcast listeners. And he's currently, again, for the audio listeners, wearing an Aikido kimono. I'm sure he'll explain why. We connected a few weeks ago, and I thought a perfect guest to talk about what comes next and leadership. Welcome aboard.
Welcome. Thank you. Thank you, Tom, for the invitation. It's a pleasure and privilege to be part of your show. I've watched several previous episodes, really enjoyed them, so really happy and thrilled to be here with you. You mentioned the kimono. Yes, that's an Aikido outfit, and I'm actually currently in my Aikido dojo. Dojo is a place where you practice your art, and in this case, the Aikido. So I'm a teacher, an Aikido sensei, and I run my dojo. Luckily, we're able to be back and practicing live in person. So this is very exciting. And right now, as we speak, just 5 meters to the side, there's a children's class happening. And maybe I'll give you a peek later on with the camera. We'll see what's happening there. Some adults also practice and parents. We try to combine that as a way of development of future leaders.
Fantastic. A friend of mine who's a past guest on the show, Alison McCondre, her partner in life and in business, Matt Clark, is a huge fan of spending lots of time at the dojo and feels it brings a lot to him. And, at some point in the next 30 minutes, I'd love to hear from you how this does gel with your work. So what do you want to talk about today?
In the area of leadership and the current times are extremely interesting, because I think that the whole COVID situation has enabled or accelerated a different view at leadership in such a way that a little different skills or skills that were always present with leadership but now got really more exposed. And to start with is trust. And I think that's a very unique and key element. And with the situation we have working remotely, and how we work in teams, how we connect requires a different level or skill or approach to building trust, showing up accountable, and how do you develop trust? And I think that trust is the first and essential element in leadership. Mm-hmm. So this is very exciting, and I find that really inspiring to see what people are bringing in about this, just to mention like Brené Brown or Andy Amundsen about fearless organizations, about trust and psychology safety, and all those topics I think are now much more relevant or visible than they used to be before the COVID situation.
Yeah absolutely. It's the core to it. Trust is the core to any relationship, and yet in too often in the corporate and work environment, there is a choice to not fully trust, but instead to manage, to control.
Yes, and that's those are. I think that in business setup, you have to find the right balance between management and leadership. Mm-hmm. And as for a manager, you become because you've been promoted or you wanted to become promoted and you get a position, you get a role, and that's a management position. And then to become a leader, it's not your choice. It's the choice of people that decide to follow you, and then you become a leader. Mm-hmm. How do you go about that? I think people, first of all, have to trust you and respect you and see the direction you're going, that this is the path, the way they also want to go, and follow you. And that's when you become a leader. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So this is very, and at the same time, I don't want to put down any management skills, because business, after all, is about delivering numbers, the KPIs, delivering the business, the service or the product. And you have to measure that and count that. So this is really precisely set. But this is not really leadership. Leadership includes this ingredient of human aspect, of human skills, mm-hmm. and people choose to follow you. And then if you combine the two, I mean, real magic happens then.
Yeah, yeah. I'm fiercely in agreement with you, as a past boss of mine used to say. My little shortened version of that is, a leader is someone others choose to follow.
Exactly that.
Back in, seven, eight years ago, in the Cayman Islands, we ran a program that was designed to really stretch people into leadership, which we called a leadership growth program.
Right.
The GP. And it was incredibly human, if I put it that way. But the assumption was these were all people who had grown through the ranks and had fantastic management skills, were already established leaders, but really wanted to take it up several levels. And I know from our brief interactions, you have a program quite similar to that. And you know, having worked on that, I'm interested in really perhaps. Around leadership, one of the things I always look for my guests to do is to give some learnings people can have around, you know, what can they do? There's so much talk right now about finding, and I love what you said about finding the balance between leadership and management, between trust and control, perhaps. And, I think people are striving for that balance. There's the Goldman Sachs types who are just going, right, they all have to come back to the office and be under the thumb again. And there's other companies saying, choose exactly how you want to do it. There's a architecture and professional services firm called Arup, which is, I think, employee owned, with about 6,000 staff in the UK, predominantly UK. And they've just devolved it to the staff and said, how do you want to do it? And I do find that interesting, because I think sometimes people need a container to know what's the direction we're going in, to what level will we give you freedom, and what level would you step up and take it? And I do just keep, I can't help it, because you're wearing a kimono. And I'm wondering, as you've evolved, as I understand your dojo is, you know, a lot of people come through it, right? But I would imagine, as the sensei there, it's, and I'm not a martial arts person, but I would imagine you don't do much managing. You don't even necessarily do too much teaching at that point if you've got 100 plus people. But it must be a lot about how you create the space, the container, the energy, and people choose to follow you as the leader of the dojo.
Well, you mentioned several really great topics. I try to keep in my mind which one to hook on to. So going like backwards now, so in the dojo, yes, I have students that have third degree black belts, and they teach, and it's part of their path of development to become a more skilled Aikido teacher, Aikidoka. And then the path, all those martial arts, they're a path. There's no end to it.
Mm.
So there's no finish line.
Mm-hmm.
So like Aikido, I is a harmony. Ki is energy or attitude or intention. And Do is the path.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a path of harmonizing with the energy and the intention, and there's no end to it. It's a lifetime journey.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think that you mentioned something at the beginning that applies exactly to leadership, and the program that you mentioned, and our program as well, is that it is for people that are already very established managers and leaders, mm-hmm. but they're aware of that becoming a better version of themselves is a never ending story.
Mm-hmm.
So they seek opportunities to develop and to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And then another metaphor maybe that might be useful is that dojo is, if you see that the name is the place where you practice your art. And so when we work with managers or anybody that joins our program, we ask, okay, where's your dojo to practice becoming a better version of yourself? And actually, it turns out that, as probably most of the listeners know very well, is most of the time we spend at work. Usually one third we sleep, one third we work, and one third we do everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then there's the one third at work, and this is just a fabulous opportunity to develop and grow.
Hmm.
But we usually try to show up in such a place as a person that already knows it, or he's being paid for certain skills to deliver. That's sure. that's of course, but then where do you have the opportunity to develop your skills further? And that actually, and that brings another topic of the psychological safety in the environment we work. Because if you're not allowed to make mistakes and experiment, you're not allowed to grow. Because growing is about learning from your mistakes. And if you change the narrative that it's not a mistake, it's an experiment. And if it goes well, then I'm going to apply that later on again. That's how we grow. So if you change the attitude toward the, your environment, that everything is an opportunity to grow, and everything is an opportunity to develop, you have just enormous cases that you can just grow and develop yourself. And that's beautiful. And that's what we do in the dojo. But people come here to the dojo to actually exactly do that. They practice a certain skill, a certain move, a certain technique, a certain movement, certain level of awareness in their body. But this is all for a reason. And this is not only to keep in this one place. It's actually to be applied and used in every single second of your life outside the dojo.
Yeah. Cross-pollination. I mean, the very old book Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance occurs to me.
That's absolutely on the spot.
And in fact, before I came on the call, I had 30 minutes free, and I was I'd used my mind a lot today, a lot of listening, a lot of processing. So I spent 30 minutes building a piece of IKEA flat pack furniture.
All right. I bet that lets you kind of free yourself mentally. In fact,
that was, I thought, what can I do best to prepare for this 30 minutes? And I thought, thinking will not be the thing. Freeing my mind and doing an alternative activity so I can come fresh. So my curiosity goes to, so at your level in Aikido as the sensei of your dojo, what's the most recent thing you have learnt as you grow on the journey?
In martial arts, very often the relationship of a sensei and their students is very like intertransactional analysis from parent to child, authoritative. Mm-hmm. So being in this kind of model for 30 years, for me, a learning opportunity right now is to actually create a space where we all grow, and I also acknowledge my growing. And for everybody to experience and not to be, I mean, show the direction, but let the students actually experiment, have their learnings instead of telling, if you do it that way, it's going to be like this. Rather try it. Maybe it'll work. Hopefully it does for me. So maybe it'll work for you, but you have to have the learning and the experience to have that and think of your way further on. Today I had a call from one of my senior students after yesterday's class, which really moved me to tears, because he called me and said he just wanted to thank you for yesterday's class, that I wasn't showing up as a know-it-all teacher, but that we all experienced and we all could learn together from that, from this experience that we had. And this really moved me to tears, because, first, you don't always get from a senior martial artist, you don't get too much feedback of this sort, which I really enjoyed. And for me, it was a genuine example that actually we're moving as the atmosphere in the dojo in the right direction, because this is what the senior students, their senseis for younger students, also need, and what's most important, they see it, acknowledge it, and give feedback about it. That was really, really moving, this kind of acknowledgement to receive. So I was really moved today with that.
One of the repeated things I come across, and it's showing up quite a lot among clients, and therefore on another side note, a coach will always say, so what am I doing that's having this show up? but that's a different conversation. But what shows up repeatedly, and it's over the years, is when people say they're willing to delegate and let go. They still seek to have the final approval. And so right. I was in a conversation with somebody from a network community I'm in last week, and the phrase they used was along the lines of, am I doing it better or am I doing it, am I just doing it differently? Right. And this, because there is this element, I mean, I used to do a lot of work in marketing back in the days of magazines and print. Yeah. And over time, I always just approved the final proof.
Yeah.
Right. And I realized one point I had a moment where I had this big team I built around me, and I kept approving everything. I kept signing off on it.
Yeah.
And at one point I went, I have to stop doing this. And one day I got it, and I had a piece, and I realized I would have done it differently, and this is great. So I literally emailed off to the team and said, our current structure is I approve things, but I've recognized that every single time I do a little edit for the final proof. And I went, this is I would have done it slightly differently, and know that this is great, and I'm approving it without edits, and I find that difficult. I acknowledged I was quite, you know, I was a bit vulnerable around it. Within a few weeks, I was on a flight, and I picked up a travel, a month or two later, I picked up a travel magazine. It was a travel tourism marketing thing. And I saw an advert for the project I was working on, an advertisement. And I laughed because two things had happened. One was I'd never seen that ad being drafted. It was completely not didn't involve me at all.
Right.
The students had taken over from the sensei, right?
Right.
And the second thing was it was better than I would have done. So I personally experienced when I used to manage large businesses and large teams that was, I found it challenging, and it is a fascinating thing, and it's really great to hear you remark that as somebody with 30 years experience, was a, you know, yourself, that was a first of all, acknowledgement is really powerful. Acknowledging people is a simple and powerful tool.
Yeah.
And you received that from one of your senior students, but also to say it out loud and like, okay, I learned something more. And it's a repeated learning. I'm sure you've learned that years ago, but it's great to share that. And of course you take that back into business, right? Actually going, if you've done it for 20 or 30 years and you've always signed it off because it was your business and you built it, and now you want to hand it over, it's difficult because that's your child.
That's true. That's always a huge challenge to let go of something that you love and you created it, or you enabled it to grow and come to the world and then grow and then let go. And it turns out that maybe it's going to take a different direction now. And like you said, it might not be better. It'll definitely be different, but it might be better.
Mm.
It's just that I become a limit also in certain moments to what's possible from my experience. And then new people come in and they come in with new experiences and new input that is not available to me.
Let me throw you something that's really fresh to me, so unscripted. A good friend of mine, and you know, somebody I've done a lot of work with is a gentleman called Gordon Bull, who I will have on the show later. And Gordon sent me something he'd read, which takes the work around, you know, I've quite deeply studied on the work of Frederick Laloux and reinventing organizations and the idea of self-managed organizations. But going back to you talking about finding a balance, which is something I look at a lot. He sent me an article and which somebody, I can't remember the author right now, I'm afraid, but could coined MMLOs, middle managerless organizations.
Because
what I worked on with the Zappos type organization, Tony Hsieh's stuff in Las Vegas and other areas over the years, started about 7 years ago. I found a gap was that a truly leaderless organization is problematic. And the idea of this was to come up with really two layers and only a two-layer organization where there might be a CEO and C-suite, which goes back to your piece around a leader setting the direction and the tone, et cetera. and then looking to take it right down to one layer rather than through multiple layers of what I often refer to in corporates as layers of clay.
Yes.
So things often get stuck in the water trying to drain from the top to the bottom or from the bottom to the top, get stuck in a sediment layer where things tend not to happen. So I just discovered it literally a few hours ago. I'm just wondering, not necessarily about that, but when you're working on this transition from, you know, technically very capable managers who have also grown into leadership, often with no formal training at all.
Yes.
And there is, you know, generalized leadership development training doesn't really work because it just touches the rational side. But the growth which we're talking about is in the human side and that level of vulnerable growth. Just wondering what thoughts you might have on the future of a big topic for a few minutes. But, you know, where will we be going with the future of organizations?
Well, that's Lalu's concept of organizations is beautiful, and yet I think that not it won't apply everywhere. Mm-hmm. I mean, how much loose you can have and let go of responsibilities, and it depends of the type of a business you're actually doing. Because if you're in a factory and there you got physical workers doing some stuff. There's different level of leadership there, and then there's totally different level of leadership when you're in a startup of in a technology company, where you actually want people to come up with new ideas, you want them to experiment, you want to find new solutions. Whereas in the production side, you actually don't want people to experiment that much there. You got procedures, you got processes, you got numbers, and so there's probably much more management needed there, and then also totally different approach in a technology startup or any innovation you want to apply.
But just a challenge, because you know, you and I both do a lot of work with knowledge worker businesses that are quite large.
Yes.
And we're talking about trust. You were talking about trust earlier, and the idea of working not always 5 days a week in the office is changing things.
Yes.
So I guess I'm throwing a bit of a rock in the pond.
Please, yes.
but it's just really, where might we, you know, just I'm going to be musing, and I'm just doing it kind of a little bit live with you about where might we see changes. Because yes, you look at it extremes, and they're very relevant. And what I found was truly self-managed organizations rarely get above a small number of people, right? But it is an interesting idea to have one of my past guests on the show runs an organization about 5,000 people in professional services. And he just led by sense of direction, like when the pandemic started, what are our values? What's important to us? What do we need to do? And just said, what do we need to do based upon that? And all he did as the chief executive was repeat, this is our direction. This is our purpose. These are our values. He didn't actually tell people what to do.
Well, of course, and I can only add to that that's beautiful and that's fantastic. But then it does go several layers lower, and at some point people have to follow certain procedures and processes. So at this level, when he has leaders, because he is a leader, but he. A level below, he has leaders that he trusts, and he can communicate with them on a different layer. He doesn't need to manage them.
No.
He has to encourage, inspire, and show the direction. And then they do the next work, the next level. Mm-hmm. So, so going back to your question, where I think the future of organizations is going exactly this direction, that it will be that people on the very top will have to acknowledge, they don't have to, but if they want to grow into a different level of organization, they will have to start working in such a way. Mm-hmm. I don't see big future for managers on the top that are only managers on the top at the top of a big organization. It's going to be extremely challenging because people won't want to follow. And now that with remote work, people are being put into much more responsibility on themselves. Mm-hmm. So you have to learn how to work based on trust, not on management, strictly. Mm. So I think that's going to have to go this way. I hope it will, at least.
I guess my interest is to what extent does leadership trickle down into the individual at the beginning layer? And I guess a parallel for me, not to martial arts, but I'm very spent many, many years involved with the sport of competitive swimming, which has very clear parallels to martial arts with, you know, because people will start at a very young age.
Yes.
Similar kind of age. And they really don't get to an elite level for quite a number of years. And there's a progression. And at the beginning, that progression is very, quite regimented. To be fair, the kid's just having fun for the first year or two. And it needs to always be fun as a context, but they're doing what they're told quite a lot. Right. And then there is that point where, and I've seen different swim coaches do this at different levels, where at some point in their teenage years, either earlier or later, that it becomes much more like how you taught, the example of teaching you mentioned, where it's like they get to self-guide themselves, self-lead themselves to a certain degree around what their practice is, what their experience is, what works for them. But I have really noticed it very, very differently. I've been not a coach in swimming, but I am an international referee in swimming. So I'll do everything from small club meets to major international meets. And just watching the way different coaches operate, different styles of, to what level are they managing the swimmer? To what level does the swimmer just feel that's the paradigm that they need to sit in, that they need to be told what to do by the coach? And to what level do they just go, actually, I don't really need any of that from you. I simply need you to cheerlead me. And then once or twice a year, you know, just guide in a certain direction, you know?
Well, we're coming back to the same concept of finding the right balance. And there are lots of polarities here to be managed. It's not a question or this, but it's an end. But how you find the right balance between the two. And this is actually what we usually will put a lot of effort in exploring in our leadership development intensive programs. Is first, acknowledging that there are polarities, and then learning how to find your balance. And I'd like to just share a quick anecdote about the founder of Aikido, who at his in his 80s, he was... I mean, late years. He was a very small person, and at the final years, he was showing demonstrations with throwing around big guys around, and his senior students would approach him and say, "Sensei, how do you actually, Sensei, because he's the great teacher, Sensei, how do you manage not that you go quickly, you know, throw here, throw there, do this, and you never lose balance?" And he smiled in their faces and said, "That's really silly. I lose my balance all the time. I just regain it so quickly that nobody notices it." So I don't believe there's status quo in anything. Is it more management? Is it more leadership? We're always floating between the two. And just knowing, realizing when you're going too far to one side and have to come back, that's the essential skill that we need to acquire and develop in ourselves. So then we find the balance really quickly. We don't have to jump off on one side and realize everybody around us sees that we overdone something or didn't pay attention to something different. Just be always present and see what is it time for now? Is it for management or leadership?
That I laugh so loud because that story is so resonant. But, you know, my favorite coaching device is a pen, which I just hold up vertically. And just say, look, if it's out of balance, like a pendulum, and you let it go, does it go to perfect alignment in the middle? No, it goes to the other side. And so if everybody was in perfect alignment, as if they were practicing yoga or aikido,
it would be so boring.
You and I wouldn't have any work. <It's> like, but the idea,
don't even mention that.
Reaching a level of practice, a level of mastery in practice, where nobody even notices you correct is awesome, an awesome thought. And I think part of that for me is you have to have the awareness you are out of balance, and not block it off. The bit about balance for me is it's fascinating how things are timed, because just 2 days ago I wrote one of my daily blogs on my site, and I just called it A Few Mixing Desk Thoughts, and I looked at, you know, dimensions. So whether it's management, leadership, trust, control, I looked at risk versus uncertainty, complex versus complicated, efficiency versus resiliency. And you can put your own mixing desk on when you go spend those 8 hours a day practicing. And so I think that the for me, the key takeaway is, on the one hand, we can all be focused on on being in balance between, say, management and leadership is the topic we've already talked about. And we can hope to gain a level of self-mastery where nobody notices when we go out of balance because we correct it so quickly. Very, very cool.
Yeah, I really like that. And I think it's really, really deep wisdom in that.
Oh, just mind blowing, to be honest. I'm going to sit with that for a while. I don't think I'm going to go and make more IKEA furniture after this. I think I'm just going to go sit quietly. I want to honor your time. You have a dojo to lead. Where can people find more about you and what you do?
Oh, thank you. Well, first of all, I highly encourage take a look at our website or at nextmove.consulting. Mm-hmm. That we can share. There's lots of information about us as the group of consultants, the way we work, the way we approach consulting, mm-hmm. and about our program, Leadership Development Intensive, that we run worldwide, internally and externally, open editions. And we do that as well as remotely and on-site. Now, luckily, it's again possible to do the on-site work, which is fantastic. So that's where you can learn how to find the balance about yourself and then also about the world and how to actually bring it to life and practice.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Nextmove.consulting.
Absolutely.
Excellent. It's been an absolute pleasure. Many thanks.
Pleasure is mine, Tom. Thank you very much for the invitation and time.